Part 2. 12. Jim was 12. He was difficult to live with, inconsistent, moody. His appetite was appalling, and he told me so many times to stop pestering him. I consulted Atticus. "Reckon he's got a tapeworm?" Atticus said no. Jim was growing. I must be patient with him and disturb him as little as possible. This change in Jim had come about in a matter of weeks. Mrs. DeBose was not cold in her grave. Jim had seemed grateful enough for my company when he went to read to her. Overnight, it seemed, Jim had acquired an alien set of values and was trying to impose them on me. Several times he went so far as to tell me what to do. After one altercation, when Jim hollered, "It's time you started being a girl and acting right," I burst into tears and fled to Calpurnia. "Don't you fret too much over Mr. Jim," she began. "Mr. Jim?" "Yeah, he's just about Mr. Jim now." "He ain't that old," I said. "All he needs is somebody to beat him up, and I ain't big enough." "Baby," said Calpurnia, "I just can't help it if Mr. Jim's growing up. He's gonna want to be off to himself a lot now, doing whatever boys do, so you just come right on in the kitchen when you feel lonesome. We'll find lots of things to do in here." The beginning of that summer boded well. Jim could do as he pleased. Calpurnia would do until Dill came. She seemed glad to see me when I appeared in the kitchen, and by watching her, I began to think there was some skill involved in being a girl. But summer came, and Dill was not there. I received a letter and a snapshot from him. The letter said he had a new father whose picture was enclosed, and he would have to stay in Meridian because they planned to build a fishing boat. His father was a lawyer like Atticus, only much younger. Dill's new father had a pleasant face, which made me glad Dill had captured him, but I was crushed. Dill concluded by saying he would love me forever and not to worry. He would come get me and marry me as soon as he got enough money together, so please write. The fact that I had a permanent fiancé was little compensation for his absence. I had never thought about it, but summer was Dill by the fishpool smoking string. Dill's eyes, alive with complicated plans to make Boo Radley emerge. Summer was the swiftness with which Dill would reach up and kiss me when Jim was not looking. The longings we sometimes felt each other feel. With him, life was routine. Without him, life was unbearable. I stayed miserable for 2 days. As if that were not enough, the state legislature was called into emergency session, and Atticus left us for 2 weeks. The governor was eager to scrape a few barnacles off the ship of state. There were sit-down strikes in Birmingham. Bread lines in the cities grew longer. People in the country grew poorer. But these were events remote from the world of Jim and me. We were surprised one morning to see a cartoon in the Montgomery Advertiser above the caption, "Makem's Finch." It showed Atticus barefooted and in short pants, chained to a desk. He was diligently writing on a slate while some frivolous-looking girls yelled "Yoo-hoo!" at him. "That's a compliment," explained Jim. "He spends his time doing things that wouldn't get done if nobody did 'em." "Huh?" In addition to Jim's newly developed characteristics, he had acquired a maddening air of wisdom. "Oh, Scout, it's like reorganizing the tax systems of the counties and things. That kind of thing's pretty dry to most men." "How do you know?" "Oh, go on and leave me alone. I'm reading the paper." Jim got his wish. I departed for the kitchen. While she was shelling peas, Calpurnia suddenly said, "What am I going to do about y'all's church this Sunday?" Nothing, I reckon. Atticus left us collection. Calpurnia's eyes narrowed, and I could tell what was going through her mind. Cal, I said, you know we'll behave. We haven't done anything in church in years. Calpurnia evidently remembered a rainy Sunday when we were both fatherless and teacherless. Left to its own devices, the class tied Eunice Ann Simpson to a chair and placed her in the furnace room. We forgot her, trooped upstairs to church, and were listening quietly to the sermon when a dreadful banging issued from the radiator pipes, persisting until someone investigated and brought forth Eunice Ann, saying she didn't want to play Shadrach anymore. Jim Finch said she wouldn't get burnt if she had enough faith, but it was hot down there. Besides, Cal, this isn't the first time Atticus has left us, I protested. Yeah, but he makes certain your teacher's gonna be there. I didn't hear him say this time. Reckon he forgot it. Calpurnia scratched her head. Suddenly she smiled. How'd you and Mr. Jim like to come to church with me tomorrow? Really? How about it? Grinned Calpurnia.